Revelation chapter 18. In chapter 17, we saw the destruction of Babylon. Babylon, the spiritual system. It was the name was Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of whores or harlots and abominations of the earth. The spiritual system, the church, the true church will be raptured. And we learn that what's left is a false church. You can read about that, the church at Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3. They're lukewarm. Jesus says, you're not hot or cold, you're lukewarm, you make me throw up. There's not one good thing said about the church of the end times. It's a fake spiritual system. You and I are seeing it to come together. We're watching it. But in it, even in this day, God always has those individuals that are truly His. In any time throughout Scripture, you can check it out. There are always those who are truly His. Even when the entire nation rejected Him, there were those individuals who were truly His. And so, the same thing today. Even though I see our nation turning its back on God, rejecting Him, laughing in His face, still, I think by God's strength, you and I need to be individuals who love Him. We may not have the most solid Bible studies. We may not have such a great understanding of eschatology. I'm sure there are people that know it better than me and you. But me and you can be individuals who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. That's what we want to be. Now in chapter 18, which we begin now, we're going to see the destruction of Babylon, but it's commercial Babylon. It's I guess we'd call it the political and the economical system that is called Babylon. That's what we're going to watch. And we'll also see two reactions. We'll see the reaction in chapter 18, the reaction of the earth, the people on the earth, and you'll see the reaction of those in heaven. So you get the reaction of earth and the reaction of heaven in the same chapter for the destruction of the political and economical system that is here on this earth. Just as you saw the destruction of the spiritual system that was on the earth after the church is taken out during the tribulation period. Well, we begin like this. Chapter 18 says, and after these things, remember you've seen that a few times. Remember in chapter 4, after these things, meta tata, the Greek, after these things, after what things? Well, after you saw the destruction of the spiritual system. About 3.5 years into this 7-year period, the church, the spiritual church, this fake apostate prostitute church, will be crushed and destroyed by the kings of the earth. Remember that? The Antichrist and his followers. So that he can enter into the temple, set up the image, proclaim to be God, and expect to be worshipped as God. Now, chapter 18 says, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. So another powerful angel comes down from heaven, and he cries mightily with a strong voice, verse 2 says, saying this, Babylon the Great is fallen, literally in Greek, fell, past tense. And is become the habitation of demons and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Woo. After the judgment of the system known as Mystery Babylon, there's coming a judgment of the political and economic system God calls Babylon. Notice in verse 2, God speaks as of coming events as if they have already taken place. You will find that that's God's practice throughout His Word. He speaks to you and I as if it's already done. Jesus was crucified when? From the foundation of the world. God speaks as of things that are not as if they already were. Babylon, this political system, has fallen. It's gone. It's destroyed. Yet it's still future for you and I. Now God, you could count on Him. Start by His strength counting on Him more. Begin to believe what He says and begin by His strength to act on what He says. Walk in accordance with really what He says. The world is laughing behind your back. Well, used to be. That's not true. The world is laughing in front of your face now. But they were at one time laughing behind your back, behind our backs. Now they laugh right to our faces. You believe this? Yes, I do. Do you believe it? Sooner or later, there needs to be some action behind what we say. Teaching through Revelation seems to be popular. I noticed that a few churches are doing special seminars in town over the last few weeks. I read through some of the flyers that they sent out, and it was absolutely garbage. So I can see why your average semi-sane individual would think it's all garbage. If three or four churches are teaching stupidity and symbolism and all this stuff, well, you can see how everybody's going to say, well, it's your interpretation. I was speaking with someone the other day, and they say, well, that's your interpretation. And here we go. You know, there are thousands of interpretations. Are there really? How about if you just look at it and if it doesn't specify otherwise, why not take it literally? Why try to interpret it some way at all? Why not take it just for what it says? Why, when Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me, why would you try and interpret that any other way? Why not just take it literally as He is the only way to the Father? It sure cuts out a lot of trouble, doesn't it? But that would mean truth is absolute. And people don't want that. We need situational ethics. We need, they want to make it fit their circumstance. Here's what God's Word says. You've been in my case. Well, but here's what the Word of God says. But see, in my life, but here's what God's Word says. Now, I've told you this before. I have had people come in for counseling back in my younger days. I don't do this anymore. I am so gentle. People call and say, I'd like to make an appointment with one of the pastors. Well, you want to talk to Pastor Rob? Are there other ones available? Because they would come in and the guy would say, I don't like my wife. I go, yeah, so what? So, she's your wife. Why are you telling me that? Well, I just, you know, we're not getting along with it. Why? Why aren't you getting along? Bible says get along. Go home and get along. No, we can't. Yes, you can. Bible says to do that. And God gives you. No, we can't. So I would tear the page out of the Bible. Throw it in the trash. And what's the next problem? And after a few times, the guy would catch on. And finally he'd say, I can see you're just going to tell me to do what the Bible says. I said, yeah, but the good thing is you can have this one. Because now all the parts you don't like are gone out of it. And it won't work for me. You just take it now. That's us. That's what we want. Just tear it out of there. You know, I don't want it to say that. God speaks of coming events as if they were already accomplished. I don't do that anymore, by the way. I don't do that. I sit very calmly and go. Because I learned, they taught me how to counsel. And they said, when you counsel, you always repeat what the people said. I'm angry. Angry? Yes, man, I hate everything and everybody. Everybody? It works well. Nothing ever happens, but people say, boy, I'm going to come back and see you. Don't believe me for a minute. I don't do that. I do say so what a lot, though. I'm getting fired, so. I can't hire you. Don't worry. Now you're not going to come in for help, are you? I have as much finesse as a burning outhouse. Notice that this Babylon, in verse 2, and I don't know where it is myself. I have heard reports that it is really New York City. I've heard reports that it is Rome. Some say it's Brussels. And some say that it is rebuilt Babylon, the literal city of Babylon itself. I don't know, and if I say anything and it goes against what somebody else teaches, I'll be in trouble. But I personally have an opinion. If you ask me afterwards, I'll tell it to you. Or now. I think myself, and this doesn't matter, and I don't know what everybody else teaches on the subject, but I lean toward literally rebuilding the city of Babylon. Now, if you don't call all the other pastors in town and tell them what I said, okay? I don't need them calling me to straighten me out. If you disagree with me, God bless you, that's fine. To get into heaven, there won't be a man there. You agree with Bob or not? No, I don't. You go to hell. No, that won't happen to you. You'll be fine. That's not cussing. You can say it that way. But nobody, this is all speculation. But here's something we do know that is solid, okay? We know this. That this place, whether it's literally rebuilt Babylon, which Saddam Hussein is almost, he's worked his way, almost finished with it. It's being rebuilt. Or whether it's New York, if you like that one, or Paris, or Brussels, or Rome, whatever. Well, wherever it is, I want you to know this about it. It's fallen. It's going to be destroyed. It's become the habitation of demons and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. The vultures and things. A habitat for demons. You know, Isaiah chapter 13, speaking of the literal city of Babylon, you'll see why I think what I think. You don't have to think my way, but Isaiah 13, verses 19 through 22. Remember, every time you get a chance, let the Bible teach you from itself, okay? Let the Bible show you what it's talking about. Let the Bible help you understand the Bible. You're safe that way. Isaiah 13, 19 through 22. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It's talking about the end times now. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. Owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces, and her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. God says when it's destroyed, it's going to be destroyed completely forever. Jeremiah chapter 50, starting in verse 38, going through 38 through 40. A drought is upon her water, speaking of Babylon, the kingdom of Babylon. And they shall be dried up, for it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. Therefore the wild beasts of the desert with the wild beasts of the islands shall dwell there, and the owls shall dwell therein. And it shall be no more inhabited forever, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. You notice when God destroys it, nothing's going to be there but animals and demons. Now go back to the book of Revelation and see chapter 18 and read. He cried mightily, verse 2, with a strong voice saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, demons, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. God predicted it. It's going to be. You can believe that Babylon will be destroyed wherever you perceive it to be, and it will never be inhabited again, ever. For all nations, or the reason because all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Okay, if you're a Bible underliner, that might be something to underline, because that's an interesting thought. We're not talking about spiritual now. What are we talking about? Political and economics. How about that? Fornication. God calls it sexual sin. Political and economical. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Big business. We're talking about politics, and we're talking about economics. Mankind today uses business, by the way, as an excuse to not have time for God. Business is keeping people away from church, keeping people away from their word, keeping people away from the things that are important, trying to simply earn money. And of course, we know that you should work. God says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So we understand that work was God's idea. But do you notice how economics and politics, how the Babylonian system has become so strong that now the entire earth is driven by it? God calls that another spiritual fornication. Interesting, isn't it? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, and this voice is God. How do I know? Well, because look what he says. Come out of her, my people, that you may not be partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. The church has been raptured at this time in Revelation chapter 18. But notice God still has people that are his on the earth. And he says, come out of her. The voice that is speaking is God. God will have servants here even during the final days of the tribulation period. And he wants his people out of that system. Now listen closely. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Two verses. Verses 30 and 31. Deuteronomy 4. 30 and 31. This is an interesting statement that God makes to his people. When you are in tribulation, and all these things, the suffering he's talking about, all these things come upon you, even in the last days or the latter days, if you turn to the Lord your God and shall be obedient to his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, he will not forsake you, neither destroy you, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Isn't that cool? When you're in tribulation, in the latter days, if you remember then to turn to your God and be obedient to his voice, remember your God is merciful, he will keep his word and take care of you. What did he say to his people? I heard another voice from heaven, verse 4, come out of her, my people. Come out. Turn to me now and listen to my voice and come out of her. Jeremiah 51, giving you a lot of scriptures. Now, Jeremiah 51, verses 5 and 6. For Israel has not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Notice you've getting the same message in the Old Testament that you're getting right here in the book of Revelation. Come out of her. God wants his people, that's you and me, to be separate. Now, you live on this planet, you can't get off. But he's called us to be separate by walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. By walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Verse 5 says, you know, her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. The smell of the sin is starting to stink heaven up, is what God says. And so he's going to crush and destroy that system, that economic system. Reward her even as she rewarded you. Double unto her, verse 6. Double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Remember, Jesus says, with what measure you hand it out, it comes back to you. The system is really, if you'll look around and see how the system, it's literally controlling the world. The Babylonian economic political system already is running the world. If we have a little trouble over in the Far East or in the Orient, if their money is a little shaky, even the system in the United States sinks. You notice it's running every nation. We're in trouble. We're set up for the final things that are coming. That's what's going on. We are setting up and being set up. He says in verse 7, how much she has glorified herself. This is speaking of Babylon, the system, the city. And lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I sit a queen, I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Everybody take note, prosperity blinded Babylon to the judgment of God. Notice how she says, I'm doing great. I'm a queen. I'm in charge. Things are going my way. The economy's good. Everything's happening. It's working right. Everything's great. Interest rates are low. It's time to go. Nothing's ever going to go wrong. Prosperity blinded Babylon to the judgment of God. You see, trading was active on the stock market. Things were beginning to show an upward trend. People were making money and lots of it. World peace was in sight. We can just get together. We'll get that world peace. We can disarm everyone. It'll be all right. Peace and safety, the cry of the hour, isn't it? Everybody's going to be healthy, happy, and whole. It's all going to work out. It's going to be great. Therefore, verse 8, shall her plagues come in one day? Death and mourning, famine, she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. Burned with fire in one day. And the idea here is carry the suddenness of the destruction. It's going to come quickly. Some teach that it will be nuclear. Well, what we know is this. She'll be utterly burned, destroyed by fire, quickly, in one day. So something big is going to take place. The destruction, by the way, notice in verse 8, is total, just as God promised in Isaiah and in Jeremiah. The destruction is total, and the destruction is final. That's something to note. Total, and it's final. And then I like this statement at the bottom of the verse, strong is the Lord who judges her. I like that. It is God that this is coming from, not the devil, not people's greed. The judgments are coming from heaven. It is God who destroys this system of Babylon. And here's another verse you can write down if you want to know what we're talking about. Isaiah 63, verses 1 through 4. Who is this that cometh from Eden with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? How come you're red in your apparel and your garments? Like him that treadeth in the wine vat. I have trodden the winepress alone. Do you know who's speaking? By the way, Jesus Christ is speaking. I have trodden the winepress alone, and the people there and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. I will stain all my garments, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. You see, strong is the Lord God who judges her. And we learned from the Gospel of John, Jesus said that the Father judges no man, all judgment has been placed in the hands of the Son. So you see, strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth, okay, that you've seen now, you're going to see the reaction of the people on the earth. What happens when this political economic system is crushed, is gone in one day? Well, the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her, with this system, they shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off from the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." Again, the idea carried the swiftness or the suddenness of the complete destruction of this place. The reaction of the world. By evening, Babylon will have been completely destroyed. Nothing but smoldering ashes left. Nothing. It's just gone off the face of the earth. And the world's going to see it. Probably on the evening news. Around the world every 30 minutes, they're just going to see. It's gone. And the world is going to weep. The people all over the world are going to mourn. They're going to wail. Now remember, in chapter 17, the fake church, that false spiritual system, remember the kings of the earth hated religious Babylon. Remember that? We're glad to destroy it. But you notice here, they loved political and economic Babylon. They loved her because of the prophets she brought to them. The lobbyists show up. They've got plenty of money with them. They start to make their pitch. You know, you got big money representing all the big business in the world, even the foreign markets. And then they work their way in and they cut deals. And it's a whole system that is corrupt, that is wasted, that is no good. God's going to destroy it. You know, when you enter into the millennial kingdom, you won't be dealing with banks like you're dealing with them now. You won't be dealing with some of these major corporations. And you take a look at corporations today and you notice, if you've ever looked into them, it's hard to find where they go. I mean, who actually owns this business I'm trying to deal with? Well, it's a part of a corporation. And you go to the corporation head, well, we're not owned. We are, the CEO really lives in Texas, and the truth is it's owned by China. And you're starting to think, something's wrong with this. Now, we read this. The merchants of the earth shall weep, in verse 11, and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. You see why they're upset? Because they're going to lose money. They're going to lose income. They're going to lose jobs. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, of pearls and fine linen. Look closely. Watch closely as we read this. Purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood, all manner of vessels of ivory, all manner of vessels of most precious wood, brass, iron, marble, cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and even the souls of men, even the slave traders, which still goes on today in case you didn't know and will still be taking place during the Great Tribulation period. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from you, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. They don't get near, because so maybe there's some radioactive fallout. For some reason, they don't get near this Babylon, but they stand at a distance and they cry. Look, all of our life, that we placed our whole lives. Now our 401k was in there. It's gone. And saying this, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to nothing. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood at a distance. And they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is likened to this great city? The world is going to mourn over this. You know, now I just read a bunch of verses to you. There's a list of things in there. And, you know, it's not comical, but it's kind of funny. When you read these things, I mean, I'll just put it in our language. First of all, you start in verse 12, start going through, and you enter into this big, giant political system, and you stop at the jewelry department. And you're starting to look around at all the precious stones and the diamonds, and they're destroyed. They're gone. You know, no, the jewelry department's wrecked up. From there, we enter into the clothing department. Take a look. I'm not making it up. That's what he's saying. And you see the clothing department is absolutely destroyed. From there, you go on over to the cosmetic counter. And all the toiletries, and you can all the perfumes and the things that attract men and women and other animals of sorts, you know, putting those things on. I wear O.D. Barnyard. Keeps most people away. But it's destroyed, gone in a moment. Then you continue on to the alcohol and the liquor section. Notice that? Even that's wasted and destroyed. Then, of course, you knew it was coming. You go down to the food aisles, and they're destroyed and gone. And finally, you get to the meat department. It's completely destroyed as well. I'm not making that up. You read through there. You'll see every one of those things listed in those verses. All gone. All part of a system that God's going to destroy. Those who engaged in the transportation. Well, let me read it to you. 1 hour, so great riches is come to nothing, verse 17. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and the sailors, as many as trade by the sea, stood far off. You got these people that are transporting all these things from the different countries by ship. And you see that they cry when they see the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like this great city? They wail. And they cast dust on their heads and cry, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she's made desolate. Here's a question that I wrote down after reading that. All the things, we went through all the departments, every department we're used to going through, wasted, gone, destroyed. And even the people that are transporting it are wailing. They've lost their income now. There's nothing to transport. Question, can we use the wealth of this world, the wealth and the things of this world, without getting them into our hearts? It's an important question for each one of us as Christians to answer. Can we use the wealth and the material things that the world has to offer without getting them into our hearts? I think the answer to that should be, yes, we can. But God says to his people, you come out from her. Is it a sin to have money? Is it a sin to have a bank account? Is it a sin to drive a car? Is it a sin to own a ship? Is it a sin? No. Do you get the point? These things can't be in your heart. These things are tools that we use while we're here to promote the kingdom of God, to further spread the work that would be glorifying to God. That's what it's all about. It's not becoming part of the system and learning how to work the system and make the system pay off. I remember a guy in my church at home. He wasn't at our church, but he came up with a plan on how we could trick the IRS. And I think, well, that sounds like a stupid idea to me. You want to try to beat the devil at his own game? You want to try to out-dumb him? Well, some churches bought into it. And when the IRS caught them, they were thousands and thousands of dollars in the hole, plus fines. You know, you don't try to get a hold of the system and make it work for you in your favor. What you do is you serve the Lord your God and love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And you love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we're all about. And we use everything we are and everything we have for the kingdom. You know, how would we do if the luxuries that are in our lives right now, and they are luxuries, even a bathtub is a luxury, because I've been to places where they don't have those kind of things. So that's a luxury. How would we do if the luxuries in our lives were taken away in one day? Imagine all of the things that you're used to gone instantly in one day. How would we do? I think Y2K showed us. Nothing happened. But how did the church do leading up to it for a whole year? They were an embarrassment to us, weren't they? The whole church. They were scared that there would be no dial tone. They didn't think they could function without power. What if in one day you lost it all? I'll tell you right now what would happen. You couldn't make it unless your treasure was already in heaven. Jesus said, don't store up your treasure on earth where moths can break in and eat it up. Thieves can steal it. Rust can get in there and mess it up. Store up your treasures in heaven. Thieves can't get in. Moths can't get in. Rust isn't going to get to it. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. If your treasure's in heaven, it won't mean a thing to you down here except inconvenience, will it? As a solid Christian, trusting in God for your income, for everything that you are, if the stock market were to collapse and you had money in there and lost it all, you wouldn't run out and commit suicide. Why? Because you think, well, darn. Sure don't like that happened. Well, Lord, what next? You'd go immediately to the Lord and say, I lost it all, Lord. What do you want me to do now? Yet you see these people actually weep and wail and cry because their whole lives are now going to be changed. You know something? Your whole life and my whole life ought to right now be completely 100% dependent on Jesus, on God. Not, it shouldn't be dependent on your job. It shouldn't be dependent on your life insurance, on your health insurance. Your faith and your trust should be in God. And if you've got life insurance and health insurance and a job, you ought to just thank the Lord and use them wisely. But don't fall into this political system that's kind of steamrolling this earth into thinking that if I don't have this, I can't make it. What'll happen when I'm old? You know, people are asking us, because we have friends who don't understand church at all. They say, do you have retirement? Does your church have a retirement plan for you? I said, yeah, they've got a plan. They plan for me to work until I fall over in the pulpit. That's my plan too, so the plans coincide with what we've got. Well, what's going to happen to your wife? If you loved your wife, you'd have a retirement plan. Really? If God's taking care of her now, why wouldn't he take care of her then? I mean, if God's... You think I'm taking care of... No. God's taking care of us now. God's taking care of you now. Shocked? It's true. He's taking care of you now. You're not doing it yourself. You guys that are working, you girls that are working, I work hard. Yes, and he gives you the energy to do it. And whenever he wants to take it away, trust me, he can. And then you won't be working hard. And you'll be going, I don't know where, I don't know how we're going to eat. I already know how we're going to eat. How do I know? Because I used to worry about it. I read the Bible one time, and Jesus said to me right into my face, Bob, don't worry about what you're going to eat. You can find that. He says that to you, too. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. How am I going to provide clothes for my family and food? I mean, how am I going to do that? Don't worry about that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The Lord knows you need these things. Since God kind of worked that into our lives, we have stopped concerning ourselves about it. Now we concern ourselves about with what? How can we teach the Bible? How can we reach more people? How can we keep people from getting offended and leaving too quickly before they've at least sat under a lot of verse-by-verse teaching? How can we do it? Lord, show us how to do this. Because we don't have to worry about anything else. Don't have to worry about anybody stealing anything from us either. I don't have that worry. How would you do if your luxuries were taken away overnight? In one day, all of them. Because, see, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Now, let's take a look. Now that we've seen the reaction of the earth, let's take a look at the reaction in heaven. Notice this, verse 20. Rejoice over her, then, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. While everyone on the earth is crying and sad that the economy is destroyed, heaven is partying and laughing and clapping. Instead of mourning and weeping, there is celebration in heaven. Why? Because God has avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, threw it, this is verse 21, into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city of Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more. It's kind of, the angel's kind of giving a little illustration. He says, see this rock? You hit the water with it, it makes a big splash, it's gone. There's Babylon. It's gone. It's destroyed. It's gone. The whole system. Again, talking about the suddenness of the destruction. No more of the crude. Oh, wait, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me read you this. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a millstone, great millstone, cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more. And the voice of harpers and musicians, that's not this place next door. Harpers are people that play harps. Harpers and musicians, and of pipers and trumpeters, they shall be heard no more at all in you. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in you. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more in you. Okay, no more of the crude, foolish, vulgar music that's being played there in Babylon. Even among so-called Christian musicians. It'll be gone. It'll be destroyed because it's part of the system. You guys that are musicians, don't hook into this system. The system is eating Christian musicians alive, in case you hadn't noticed. These bands start out with the right heart, and I'm telling you, I've been there. They start out with the right heart, they get in there, and you're wondering what happens to them. Here's the Christian band, and they're up for Dove Awards, and they're also up for charges of rape. You know, those. So you gotta postpone the Dove Awards so you can hold them up in here for rape, because so they're raping the kids back behind the stage, or at least attempting to. And you think, okay, now these are Christians, right? They're in the system. The system is taking them over. If you think that these people didn't start out with right hearts, they probably did. But you see, the system is not built to take you a certain way. All you musicians that want to get into it, don't. You say, well, is there a safe one? Yes. Be on the band in heaven. See, because we're just in the last days. Or if you do get into the system, well, talk to me first. The bright lights of the city, the light of the candle shall shine no more, verse 23, at all in you. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in you. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Notice the bright lights of the cities will go out forever. No more casinos. No more bar rooms. No more all those great things. God's going to wipe out the system. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The very last verse of this chapter. In her were found all that trouble, the martyrs. In this system, even. A political economic system actually destroys lives and puts people to death. Isn't that interesting? One thing that we learn from history is that we learn nothing from history. I think you've heard that said many times. Something that's interesting about Israel. Israel is completely surrounded by people that don't like her. And almost all of them have oil, and Israel has none. two of the people were discussing. This is kind of a famous quote. And one said to the other, speaking to a rabbi, he said, "How come God has chosen you as his people and given all the oil to your enemies so that they can be rich and use it to fight against you?" And the man answered back and said, "God gave all those Arabs the oil, and he gave us his word. The oil will run out. His word will last forever." This whole system is going to be destroyed. So as you watch it slowly collapsing and then building it up to build it into a one world thing, you understand where it's headed in the long run. You understand what's going on. And history repeats itself. I have 5 points here. The decline and fall of the Roman Empire. 5 points which caused the empire to collapse and fall apart. Number one, the undermining of the dignity and the sanctity of the home, which is the basis for human society. Point number one. Number two, higher and higher taxes, spending of public money for free food and circuses for the populace. Number three, the mad craze for pleasure, sports becoming every year more exciting, more brutal, and more immoral. Four, the building of great armaments when the real enemy was within. The decay of individual responsibility. That's what we're talking about there. And then five, the decay of religion. Faith fading into mere form, losing touch with life, losing power to guide the people. And Rome collapsed. See, Babylon has some of the same things I just read to you. That's what Babylon is all about, the system. It's not just going to collapse. God will destroy it because this will be a revived Roman Empire that you see. God's going to destroy the systems of this world, the religious systems, as well as the political and economic systems. God's going to destroy them. So if I believe that, if you believe that, then what kind of people should we be? We should be people who know the word, who love the Lord, and who use what he's given us for his glory, for his kingdom, for his purposes. Don't hold on too tightly to what you think is yours, because you're going to see the systems slowly come together as one. Basically, it's near that way now, but you'll see the systems come together as one so that it is set up. Wherever, as we said before, wherever you think it might be, New York, Paris, Babylon itself, Brussels, Rome, wherever somebody that you trust tells you it is, fine. Just understand that it will be destroyed completely. We don't hook into a system like that. 1 John tells us that this whole world is dying. You don't strap on a dead body to you and walk around with it, because you'll die. You don't hook yourself on to something that is dying. You don't come along and see, "Oh, the Titanic's going down. I'll get on there and see what that's like." No, you stay away from it, far away from it. I don't know where your heart is, but our hearts need to be in the things of the Lord. We're going to talk about the next time we get together, now that we've seen the destruction of the systems of the world, Babylon, both spiritual, political, economic. We're going to talk about another return now, Jesus Christ's return. And that seems to confuse people. So when we get together again, we're going to talk about the rapture and the second coming and try to look at the differences in the two in chapter 19 so you know that there's a difference, because it seems to confuse people. Pray about the things that you've heard tonight. Read through your Bible. See if verse 18 says those things. Look at the shelves. The cosmetics. Look at the shelves that are listed for you and see, nothing is left out. Check your own heart. As we worship together for just a few minutes, check your own heart. That's what we should all do. Let's bow our heads.